mine. It's all mine. Are you Taylor? I don't know. It's early, girl. And it's not even that early. I'm just tired. Hi. Welcome back, everybody, to Simply Amazing, the Nightcrawler podcast, where we talk about Nightcrawler all the time, every time.
I want it noted that I looked at my hats I was going to put on because I've not brushed my hair. I'm still in my PJs. And the first hat on the top of my pile was my Supergirl hat. But you know I didn't wear, Lisa? The Supergirl hat. You're welcome.
Girl, as you were starting to talk about that, Super came into my mind. And I thought about that question from John. And I'm just like, oh, my God.
I'm so thrilled with that.
Super amazing. I over my dead body. Anyway, we're not here to trigger me or talk about supers because this is the Simply Amazing podcast where we talk about Nightcrawler. I am Lisa, aka the OG Nocturne, and joined with me is someone who is decidedly not super today. Thank God. Well, you're very unsuper.
Super. I am just, this is just, I'm so personally attacked.
You should be. It was personal. It was supposed to be personal.
You are tired. You're hella aggressive right now. You're like, no bars. I'm out for everyone's head.
Let me tell you, my life has been like crazy over the past couple months, and I don't even know when it's not going to be crazy anymore. So there you go.
Oh, mood. What a mood.
There it is. But we're going to talk about the newest issue of Uncanny Spider-Man, which still is moving at a lightning pace, in my opinion. Like, kids, slow down a bit.
For real, but, I feel like I'm watching myself in college. Like, slow down, bitch. This is unnecessary.
I have a lot of questions for this issue. And don't get me wrong, I didn't dislike the issue. I just have a lot of questions. Like,
well, let's get into them, Lisa. I want to know your questions and see if any of our Simply Amazing listeners have answers.
Okay, do we want to just get into the issue or do we want to talk about questions first?
Well, let's get into the issue and I'm sure the questions will come up as they always do.
Yes. So this whole beginning part, I just don't care that much about. It's like a deviant shows up and here's one thing the MCU has done that has not served us is brought like the garbage up from the dregs. And can we just, okay. This is probably like the 50th time I've gone off on the MCU in this podcast or just in general, but it's like, we get it. You didn't have the X-Men for like 20 years, so you couldn't make X-Men movies, but did you have to just go digging for everything? Like, who cares? Like, who asked for an Eternals movie is the only thing I'm going to say. Who asked for it?
No one.
I didn't even know the Eternals were a thing until the Eternals movie. I literally didn't even know who they were. I was like, what's a fucking Eternal? So anyway, now we got to deal with these fucking deviants because the MCU brought them up and now they exist again. So whatever. So there's a deviant running around New York City.
Yeah, I don't care about that plot either. Like, I was reading that and I was like, I mean, I'm trying to care. And it's not even that it's necessarily poorly written. Like, I don't really have any criticisms writing-wise of it. I just don't care.
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of it is just like, oh, Kurt shows up because he's, you know, New York City's hero now because he's Spider-Man. And, yeah, he does a lot of like piratey things and like calls him a landlubber and sea dog. And it's very cute. It's cute. I will say it's cute, but you know, and then, you know, he's doing his thing. And then as he's doing his thing, then Silver Sable shows up with her people and they try to catch him, but he's too quick for them. He bamf, bamf, bamps, bamf, bamf, bamf.
Of course. I like his little quips when he's bamfing. There's like one where he bamfs like three times. And I've seen like some people on Twitter like specifically tweet out the third bamf he does, which is say no to bad drugs, not just drugs. And that's a nice little touch that I think is completely appropriate for Kurt's character. Not just because I agree with it personally, but, you know, it works for Kurt.
I totally agree. You guys might have heard my dog whine. I'm watching like the sound part, and while I was silent, she whined, and then I saw it go off, so it might show up on the recording. But I agree with that. I like to say no to bad drugs too. Okay, so here's my question. What does Kurt do? Is Kurt like, what is Kurt like? I mean, I'm gonna say he probably smokes weed.
So you think that because he says that means he does something?
Well, I'm just saying, like, if Kurt did drugs, I feel like the drugs he would do would be like the natural ones. He would be like, he wouldn't be into like all the craziness, he'd be like, let's just smoke a joint or do some mushrooms.
I feel like he's more like a social person if he's done anything, like if he has smoked weed or whatever, like, or like maybe he like met some people that were like stereotypically like really big into like, you know, natural medicines, quote, like you say, and maybe they're into shrooms and they're like, here, Kurt, it's all natural. It's just a shroom. Try it and see what trip you go on. Like, I feel like he's been on a shroom trip. I don't think he does any form of like drug beyond maybe medicine if he needs it like all the time. But I definitely think he's done something, but it's more of a social thing for him.
Oh, I would agree. It's a social thing 100%. And like, I mean, his drug of choice is always going to be alcohol. I mean,
no, his drug of choice is women, and he's right. Thank you.
That's true too. Yes, like he is drowning in partner.
Unless if Marvel would let it happen, probably some of the men too. Let's be real. I mean, I understand that. I understand people's train on that.
Hey, he's German. He's very open.
Listen, he sees everything. He sees the pros and the cons, and he says, "I do what I want." He's smart.
Exactly. I will say that his power is really great for trying to get away with smoking weed. Like, I can imagine him being very young.
1000%. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, him like being very young and like Margali being like, Kurt, what is this smoke coming out of the caravan? And he's like, clearly teleporting, ma.
She's like, but that's a new smell. Like, what's happening in the brimstone dimension? You know, it's just brimstone. Like, you can't judge it.
Yeah, ma, like, ma. Like, let's be, ma. It's brimstone, ma. Like, can we talk to it? No. It's brimstone. And she's like, God fucking damn it. I can't even like check your eyes if they're bloodshot because they're fucking yellow.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, moving on before we get too crazy. So yeah, so he's doing his little Bamfy. He calls himself the Creepy Crawler, which I feel like that's now his name.
I hate that for him, first of all. Like, you really couldn't think of anything else to call him but Creepy Crawler. Like, now he sounds like a pedophile or something. And I don't think that was the intention, but it's a side effect, and I hate it.
Yeah, but the other thing is, I feel like there is a Creepy Crawler. I'm, like, Googling right now. Okay, when DC and Marvel came out with, like, the Almagram comics years and years and years ago, which had a whole bunch of characters that were, like made up of like two different characters. So like, I remember one was Storm and Wonder Woman. And I think she was called like the Amazonian or something. I don't know. But I feel like Almagram. I feel like there was a Creepy Crawler in Almagram, and it was like Nightcrawler and I don't know, some fucking DC character. You would know better than me.
It could have been, but I mean, it was especially if it was under that imprint, Marvel's like, who cares? We're using it again because we can't think of anything else to call Kurt, which is annoying. Like, when people think of names to call Kurt, like in a superhero way or what have you, they always only go off of his appearance. And I'm like, why is the first thing that comes to mind that he looks creepy or like a demon? Again, this goes back to conversations we had on this pod before. Like, what the fuck, guys?
Okay, I was totally wrong. It's Night Creeper, not Creepy Crawler. So, sorry.
At least it's not Night Creeper. Somehow this is better than that.
Yes, it was, and it's Nightcrawler plus Creeper. I have no idea who's Creeper. Do you know who Creeper is?
I don't know, and I don't want to know.
We are both so done with this day, and it's only 10 a.m. So Creepy Crawler loves you, New York. Yay! And then here comes what's this bitch's name now? Why am I blanking on this guy's name? This guy.
What? I can't see what page you're on. Nimrod?
Yes, thank you, Nimrod. Oh my God. What is... Whew, it is a day. It is a day. So yeah, Nimrod shows up with Vulture, and Nimrod's like, not happy. He's like, I hired you to catch the guy, not like, just kind of graze him. So... But what's his face? Vulture's got like some creations he's gonna test. He's like, ooh, I got creations, bitch. I'm gonna pull them out, my creations. And yeah, Nimrod's basically like, it better fucking work because I'm getting tired. Like, I've already given you the deposit. So if you want the rest, you better fucking make do. And, you know, and Vulture's like, you know, I still got those bitches after them. I've got those, you know, Silver Sable and her Sablettes are out there trying to get him. So, but it turns out she's not like doing a very good job because she's spending most of her time fucking him.
Listen, I think that's a great idea. I think that's very helpful. It is great stress relief. Gives you all these nice hormones we need, like endorphins, dopamine. I mean, like we all need these things, guys.
No, I totally agree. It's like, listen, get down anytime. And okay, so this is where I had a lot of questions. But first, okay, I want to mention that in the last episode, I said to Cy Sperrier that I want my Selena Kyle, Bruce Wayne, like, love from Batman Returns. And I feel like he totally gave it to me here because he's like, they're fucking on a roof. And that scene with Catwoman and Batman on the roof is one of the fucking hottest scenes ever. So I was like, oh, thank you, Cy. You probably did not do this because of my podcast, but you know what? He's our listener for the week. So there you go, Cy Sperrier.
Maybe he does listen, even though we haven't been the happiest with him. Maybe he's like, fuck, I need to figure out how to find some middle ground. So thank you, Cy Sperrier, for that little tidbit.
That is true. So here's where my question is. So, maybe I am not the kind of person who is able to separate bit like work life from personal life, but her whole job is to catch him. And her whole thing is like, as long as I'm not wearing my helmet, I'm not working. So let's fuck. And it's like, okay, but how are you going to feed your kids, bitch? Like, I don't understand. So
in the last episode with the last issue of this, I definitely called out how I felt and how I spoke to other people that seemed to kind of agree, at least. Silver Sable felt out of character. She fell too fast. But with this issue and the fact that Spurrier definitely, you know, I think he got her, he helped clarify where her position is in this, which is, like she says, you know, for her, even if it doesn't make complete sense to everybody, she has to find a way to separate her work and her private life or some her time. She has to find a way, because otherwise, if she doesn't do it, there is no separation. You're completely right. And so that's why she says, look, my separation is I take off that helmet and I do what I want until I have to put that helmet back on again. Then I have to catch you. So even though it's weird and it's definitely like, you know, she needs therapy probably, I get it. And I respect that. And that made more sense for her character than what we were seeing before, which was like, even though she was still chasing him, she was falling all over him, which was weird. Like, again, if she does have that separation, she needs to separate it. Here, I'm like, okay, she is separating it here. And I do understand that she has to be able to have some part of her just have fun in her life, you know, with all she does. Again, it's kind of funny because in this situation, in terms of it being like your Bruce and Selena Kyle relationship, so Silver Sable is Bruce and Kurt is Selena almost in a way.
Yes. Oh yeah, very much. I totally agree with that. I guess my thing is there are millions of men to fuck in New York City, baby. Why is it the one that you are supposed to capture? And also, as Kurt, I would like, I get where she's coming from. Okay, no, I don't get where she's coming from. I'm sorry, I don't get it. But I'll accept it, where she's coming from. But then, like, on Kurt's side, like, what in his mind, like, what is to stop her from just fucking putting the mask on and killing him right there?
Well, that's what he said. He's like, aren't you tempted to do all these things? And she finishes up and she's like, well, no, at the end of the day, I don't want to, which I think speaks to Silver Sable's honor code and moral compass that she does have, despite the fact that she is a for a hire, you know, assassin, basically, or what, that's not the right word, but you know what I mean? Mercenary, something like that. And
yes,
but, and so they literally have that conversation and she's honest. I really believe when she says, if I could easily slit your throat here, and I have no intention on doing that. Again, that's part of her moral code and such, which I appreciate. And again, how's Kurt going to just say, I'm going to completely stop this? He's already a simp for any woman. Like, he's not going to walk away completely. Like, he's stuck now. It's all on her terms. She's going to be the one to call it off, probably. And he's going to be all sad boy hour again, which I'm not thrilled about that, Spurrier. Come on now. Can we give Kurt something, actually, please, that's, like, long-term, that's healthy for him? I'm tired.
Well, okay, I totally agree with you there. And I'm just reading this part where you know, she's, like, talking about, you know, having fun, and he's like, fun, huh? That's all this is then, huh? Fun. And it's like, oh my God, but what could it be though, Kurt? What else could it be?
He's already like, in love. He has issues. He has issues. We love him, but he has issues.
Oh my God, he's got fucking subscriptions. That's what I love about, kind of love about it too, is like that part I love that Spurrier did because he gets it. It's like, yes, that's Kurt. Kurt, if he's been inside you, he wants to marry you immediately.
Put that on a t-shirt, somebody. I dare you.
But yes. I mean, if he, like, that is his MO. Like, he is, like, he has been, he's the kid who played with a baby doll when he was a babe, when he was a kid, because he wants to be a dad that bad. Like, he desperately wants all that. So now he's, but again, it's like, girl, look at your choices. Look at your choices. Like, what are you doing? You are choosing to have this relationship now. Now, my dog is getting upset about this. You are choosing to have a relationship now with this woman who is supposed to kill you. That's her whole motive. Her whole job is to kill you. And you're out here like, come here, Daisy. She is like really crazy.
Poor dog. She's dying.
She's really upset about this too. She's very angry. She's like pissed. She is just like Kurt, like find a girl, like just find a girl who's on the same page as you. Just find a girl who wants the same things as you. And I'm going to tell you right now, guess what Silver Sable wants? You fucking dead. So I don't think you're on the same
page. To be fair, Sable doesn't want him dead. This, her chasing him is not personal. She's just doing her job. I'm sure personally and morally, she wishes no harm onto Kurt, and she would actually love to not have to chase him, but she is hell-bent on fulfilling her contract. I think they made that pretty clear.
Yes, yes.
I mean, but she clearly likes him enough to fuck him, completely have him in a vulnerable position where she could do whatever she wanted, and she's still choosing not to.
Yes. And I had a moment where I was like, why didn't they just go to like his apartment or something? But it's like, yeah, it's probably for the best that she doesn't know where he lives.
Probably. Lisa, you're all like, this boy, he needs to find the perfect person that is on the same page, and then you want this person trying to kill him or capture him at least to be at his place. Come on, Lisa.
So yeah, you're right. So moving on from them fucking, which we'll probably get back to in a minute anyway, so we find out that they're both Lila Cheney fans, and listen, I love any mention of Lila Cheney. It just makes me happy. So
I liked, they have a whole page dedicated to the lyrics of that song after it pops up in the actual story of the issue. And I was like, that's actually really nice. Like, you turn a page or two and it's on the left side, at least in my copy.
Yeah, I want someone to write the music for it. Like, let's actually make that a song now. Like,
I thought it was a song. My ass looked it up on Apple Music and I said, well, I guess this is fake. I was upset.
There is an amazing Lila Cheney music video, like fan made, that someone made. It's old. It's like 10, 15 years old, but it's really fucking good. I recommend everybody go look out for it. It's got like all the Gen X kids in it, like Jubilee is in it. I think like Skin is in it and I don't know who else. But yeah, go check it out. It's very cool. So we're going to take it down a notch, though, because Kurt's like, they're like talking about Lila Cheney, and he's like, yeah, she dead because they killed all the teleporters. And then Silver Sables, this is another thing I have a question about, because it's just it's very odd. So he's like, yeah, they killed all the teleporters, and she kisses him and is like, not all the teleporters. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. Like, he's mourning people he knew. Girl, just calm down for a second.
He was like a tear came down his face, and she did that trying to placate him. She wasn't trying to actually jump his bones again.
No, I know. But like, I think for me, it's like her just being like, they didn't take out all the teleporters. It's like, okay, yeah, but like they did take, like, he's talking about people he loved who are dead. And she's just like, but you're still here. It's like, yeah, but that doesn't make anything better.
Listen, no one said Silver Sable was emotionally equipped to actually, like, effectively placate someone's sadness and trauma. She can't even placate her own.
No, you're right.
She's doing her best, but you're totally right. It's kind of like, was that the most effective choice? Probably not, but she tried.
Okay, so let's talk about this BAMF situation, right? Because there's this little fucking ghost BAMF that's been traveling around with him and talking to him in his ear. And they're talking about how the Sentinels can't pick up on Kurt's mutantness. And the BAMF is like, that's because of me. And I'm wondering if they're like referencing how his, oh God, this is so gross. I wonder if they're referencing how, like, when he was resurrected the first time, like, how he had a body made out of BAMFs, which were worms.
Ew. Maybe. I don't know. I don't get it either, though. Like, I feel like we're going to learn either in the next issue or the last issue of this mini.
But yeah, we'll find out something. I mean, by the end of this month, we have Blue Origins coming out, so...
Listen, I'm just waiting for that, because they either do what they're supposed to do or they don't.
I have a feeling it's not going to be as cut and dry as like those of us out here are just like, Mystique fucked Destiny. Destiny got pregnant. She had Blue Baby. That is it. I have a feeling it's going to be so much more complicated than that.
Oh yeah.
Like, but you know, I think it's going to give us what we're asking for to an extent, but I think it's not going to be as cut and dry. I think Azazel is going to be part of it, which,
Well, I mean, I kind of have some, I think I agree with the first part of what you said, that they're going to overcomplicate it to try to over-explain how this can work, when literally you can just do what you said, and all of us fans will be like, yep, sounds good. Like, I don't even care if it makes sense at this point. That's what we want. Sure. Great. Yeah. I have hope, and maybe I'm wrong, but I have hope that Azazel won't be involved, because he's barely been there this entire, I mean, he has, like, they basically were just like, oh, what the fuck, who's that guy? And then they, you know, we're still trying to figure out why Mystique is baby crazy here, because, I mean, that's the thing, too. I've seen some reviews of this issue where they criticize, like, oh, Mystique, all she cares about is her baby, and this is just, like, stripping her as a woman character completely, and I'm like, okay... Well, to be fair, I kind of felt that way with Silver Sable being out of character. Now I feel a little better about it with this issue. So there's a reason Mystique is baby crazy. She's either time displaced or something. And if there isn't a good reason for it, then I'll call it poor writing. But I'm going to wait until I get the answer, you know?
Yeah. And also, like, you know, women are multifaceted beings that are more than just one thing. And, you know, women who have the capability to get pregnant can get pregnant regardless of whether it's their intention to get pregnant. So, you know, just because she's like this hard ass whatever, doesn't mean that she does obviously have the capability to care for other human being or other people in her life. Like, she loves Destiny, and she does have, like care for Rogue. So like that, the capability's there. So yeah, like, I mean, listen, we can have it all. It's 2023. We can be badass assassins who also take care of our babies.
Yeah, I mean, so anyways, I feel like I was quick to judge Silver Sable being out of character. But again, I judged off what I had at the time. So it can go either ways, right? I was wrong. And also I was right by what I judge in that issue. And I think some people... I'm hoping at least, you know, some people's rightful judgments on these issues in terms of this is all we're getting in Mystique so far. I'm hoping that we have a reason that explains all this kind of nonsense with her leading up. Because again, maybe this is a time, this place one where, you know, maybe with Azazel, maybe in some timeline where that was Azazel's child, she cared less about the kid because it was Azazel's. I've said it before. She is more likely to care about something if it has to do with Destiny. I firmly believe that. That's how much she loves Destiny and how much she doesn't care about other things, right? And so, because she adopted Rogue with Destiny, she cares about Rogue more, right? And if she has this child with Destiny rather than Azazel, I really believe she would care about this child more instantly. But we'll see. I don't know what Spurrier's doing. I don't know what Marvel's doing editorial-wise. We don't know.
Yeah. But basically... you know, she's like, oh my gosh, my mom said not to fall for a complicated man. And then Kurt's like, oh shit, mom, I gotta go. I gotta go meet my mom.
You said.
And like, he like bamfs out of there. And again, she's like, I'll find you first. And he's like, oh my God, like girl, what's your long-term plan here? Like, what's your long-term plan? I mean,
okay, but listen, no one asks Bruce Wayne that. Nobody asks Selina Kyle that. Why are we asking Silver Sable? All right.
Yeah, but like, Bruce Wayne hasn't been hired to literally murder Catwoman. Like, yes, she's his foil and like they go back and forth, but like there's nobody giving him a whole bunch of money being like, murder this person.
Fair, but still, yes. Regardless.
So, and then Kurt bamps out of there, and Kurt, being the fucking lovesick puppy that he is, poor puppy.
I know, speaking my dog, of a puppy,
I know, fucking, she just can't stop whining at me. I love it. I love her though. I love her so much. So this episode has been brought to you by Daisy May. In the middle of him like running to find Mystique, he pauses and he goes, wait a minute, did she say fall for? It's like, oh my God. Listen, cancel your appointment at Jared. It is not happening, Kurt.
Jewelers instead.
Oh my God. Every kiss begins with stop. Enough, Kurt. It's just, I can't, like, I just, but again, this is why I love him. So, you know, it's so funny because I don't know if I'm supposed to read this as romantic or if I'm supposed to read this the way I'm reading it, which the way I'm reading it is like just rolling my eyes and shaking my head like, girl, what are you doing?
I mean, it can be both. That's the thing about Kurt. He's well-intentioned, but he's basically thinking with his dick. That's what he's doing here. But the difference with him compared to some other people, I guess, that might do it, and it's like, it's not only just you shake your head and sigh. It's like, ew, why are you doing that? You're being gross. Stop it. With him, it's because he really does like have good intentions with her. And like you said, all he wants to do is have a great badass woman that he can treat every once in a while and then also get demolished by. That's all he wants.
Absolutely. Honestly, I'm starting to think the worst thing that could have possibly happened to him was him meeting his daughter and being like, oh shit, I can have this. And now it's like, that's all he's looking for. He's just looking for his Mrs. Wagner. Like, that's what he wants.
Oh, that's always what he's looking for. Like,
yeah.
1,000%. But it's not him trying to be creepy. Unfortunately, you know, actions can be seen that way regardless of your intentions. But it's just because he just wants to, that's something that's very important to him. He thinks he can do a lot of good that way.
I'm sorry. I'm just watching.
Daisy's with you.
You can hear her. You can hear her. I'm watching it and I'm like, I can't, like, she's just getting closer and closer and she's just, come here and I'll pet you and maybe you'll shut up while we can finish this up, huh? How about that? Okay. So he's found Mystique. He's chasing her down and she's like, they took my baby. They've got your scent. They're in Bavaria. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about, girl? Like,
rude.
You...
Girl, yeah, that's the word of the day. Girl.
But it has to be said in with an exasperated sigh, like, girl, oh, girl. So, and who shows up but it took me a while to realize this was Dagger, and Feral are here to fuck shit up.
And then, you know, Cloak pops up, and, you know, they're all trying to fuck with Kurt and Mystique and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and I mean, Mystique straight up shoots Cloak in the head. I mean, fucking murders him right there in the street.
Kurt did not like that. Kurt was very distressed.
Yes, but like, I mean, I guess I don't really know much about Kurt, Cloak, and Dagger's powers, but I guess Cloak's cloak saved him?
I don't know, man. Anybody that knows about Cloak and Dagger's powers, let us know, because I don't know how to explain that either.
I mean, like,
it's fine. Like, I'm not worried about it. I just don't know how to explain it.
This is just, again, us X-Men fans having to deal with the MCU making a whole bunch of these X-tier, like Z-tier characters relevant. But actually, I don't dislike Cloak and Dagger. I'm going to say it. I don't dislike them.
I'm going to say, damn, I hope nobody likes Cloak and Dagger that's listening because they're about to put you on their hit list.
Listen, I'm not the one who shot him in the head. Mystique did.
That's true. That's true. You know, Mystique's on everyone's hit list, though. That's a given.
Yeah. Mystique's like, hey, jump in this dumpster because you can't possibly smell worse than you already do with your fucking brimstone farts. So they jump in a dumpster to get rid of their scent. But it turns out that Feral and Cloak and Dagger are just gathering mutants. It looks like they've got Colossus. Maybe that's Storm on the ground. I can't really tell. Or are these supposed to just be random mutants? I don't know. But like, I feel like if...
I only recognize Colossus. Either way, they're catching mutants. And then Mystique's like, they won't be mutants long. And I'm like, what the shit?
Oh my God. Are they doing the opposite of what they did in the first X-Men movie?
Are they stripping people of their mutant genes?
Oh wait, that happened in the third one.
But does that have to do with... But see, I'm wondering how this fits into the fact that Kurt like doesn't show up as a mutant, I guess, on their detectors anymore, but he still has his powers.
So I have no idea. I don't know. But basically we find out that, I don't know, this whole end thing is whatever. It has to do with Warlock.
Doesn't Vulture show up and he's like, I'm going to kill you myself or some shit.
He like shows up and so this is very... I don't know much about Warlock. I really don't. Like, he's never been a character that was terribly interesting to me. And that whole era of... I'm a Nightcrawler fan. So, like, during that whole era of X-Men, like, New Mutants and all that stuff, I was in Excalibur. I didn't read that shit.
Right.
So, I don't know much about Warlock or his powers or what it does. The only thing this reminds me of is there was a story in Exiles about the Legacy Virus, but then the Legacy Virus became, like, a techno-organic virus because of Warlock's powers, and then it started taking over people and like spreading, and it was almost like they became like these like techno organic zombie like things. But and that's what this kind of reminds me of, the way that the characters are being like taken over by the Warlock shit. And but I mean, I guess we'll find out more next issue, right? Like, we'll find out what the hell's gonna happen next.
Yeah, I guess, you know, find out what the plot no one cares about next issue. Like, the Make only thing, like, here we go, though. Here's a fair praise for Spurrier here. He is doing a Nightcrawler series that is more than the other two series were, centered on Kurt himself. So good job, even though his name's not in the title anymore. And, you know, there's less gazillion plots going on. There's, like, 3 plots going on in this compared to 20. So good job. Like, cool. Not too much crazy shit happening. It's just... You know, I can actually pick what I want and feel okay reading it still.
I mean, he did mention Legion, which is like his bibby. So, it's his fave. But, you know, but yeah, no, it's not a bad run. Like, I'm definitely enjoying the moments I'm getting, and I really like Kurt as Spider-Man. I really, really do.
I think it's unfortunate that it took making him a Spider-Man to get Kurt closer to his classic roots and who he is. And I'm still grateful that because they've put him in Spider-Man, it seems to be enabling them to have him actually act like himself.
Totally agree. So, I mean,
yeah, I think it works.
Yeah, no, the problem with big team books is that, you know, you have all these characters and everybody has to get some screen time. But then, you know, it's nice to have him in a single book with just him and a couple, like, little cast of characters that he can interact with. And I would do an ongoing. I would love an ongoing of Uncanny Spider-Man. I would do it.
Yeah, I would just give it to someone else after this limited. But that's also because even Spurrier's doing better, I still don't think he's the right person to write Kurt.
No, I agree. And then one day we'll get our Nightcrawler settles down with a wife and has some kids and...
Man, if we see that before we die, I will be amazed.
There is a universe where he does get married and then his wife gets eaten by the blob.
Yeah, we're not talking about that, Lisa. God dang it. All right.
That is such a fucking bizarre story, too. Like, why does the blob eat her? I mean, he could have done 1,000 other things. He didn't have to eat her.
Because they can't let Kurt be happy in any freaking universe for longer than an hour.
That's true. Although that did lead to one of the most iconic non-616 Kurt moments when he teleports a shark inside Blob's stomach.
Yeah, that was pretty badass. Anyways.
Okay, yes.
We have, like, I think, was it two questions to answer today from you guys? Neither one of these actually have to do completely with the issue. So thank you guys for not following directions. I really appreciate you not sending us questions about the issue. First question is from Jug. Scenario. Yeah. Nightcrawler opens his own nightclub in New York and it becomes a massive hit. What is it called and what kind of aesthetic does it have? Oh, and also full disclosure, Lisa has not heard these questions and we have not prepared answers. So you're getting them off the top of our heads.
I have no. Okay. The aesthetic is like 90s Euro trash dance party.
I support that. I see, maybe this is because I'm biased and it's a hope. I would actually like to see him do like a 70s disco pop, but Euro pop from the 90s is like, that makes total sense.
I see it as being like the Limelight with less drugs. Just lots of lights and lasers and like...
Yeah.
And like the music is all in German. It's all like German techno.
Maybe it has two sides. Maybe half of it is the Euro pop of the 90s and then the other half is like 70s disco.
I think he does disco nights.
I like it. I support this. But what's it called?
Thursday nights are disco nights. Let's think. What is it called?
That one's going to take us a while. We might have to come back to you on the name. Because a name is so important, you know?
I just want to call it Banff.
We could call it Banff.
Yeah.
Or Bad the Brimstone. Maybe there's two sides. Maybe the disco pop side is called Banff. That's open only on Thursdays. But then the other half, which is the Euro pop, is like the Brimstone.
See, I like the Brimstone, except it sounds like a sex dungeon.
I mean, listen, it would just be a really nice and classy sex dungeon because it's Kurt. But is that out of character? Is it out of character?
I feel like he would have, like, he wouldn't have a problem having a sex dungeon. He just wouldn't partake. Like, he's not, he's not into, like, the pain of it all. Like, he's just very, like, he's like, you know, how you guys doing? Anybody need some condoms? Like, that's what he does.
I support. And see, that's why he's just the host.
Yes. Yes. He's very, oh my God. It's kind of funny. Like you say he's the host and I immediately go to Cabaret, which famously the MC from Cabaret was played by Alan Cumming, who played Nightcrawler. So there you go. My little.
Oh, we're making connections. Damn, Lisa, you're on it.
Willkommen, bienvenue, welcome. Maybe she's called Willkommen.
Oh, that's too much. Anyways, I hope that was a great answer for you, Jug. If it was terrible, let us know too.
The blue cock ring.
What the fuck? God damn it.
Ooh, Schwanz. That's what it's called. It's called Schwanz.
What the hell does that mean?
It's the German word for tail, but it's also German slang for dick.
You know what? I support that. I support it. I'll allow it. Yeah.
The Schwanz room. That's what, okay. It's the Schwanz room. Jesus. That's what his club is called.
I will personally be calling it just the tail room, but everyone else can call it that word.
That's fine. It's definitely in Brooklyn. It's not in Manhattan. He couldn't afford that rent.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's in Brooklyn.
Plus, Kurt still wants to be able to reach more walks of life. So that's why he's totally okay not paying that rent.
Yeah. Yeah. And he probably lives. Yeah. He probably like lives above it. I don't know. Okay. Next question.
All right. Our second and final question. What four people would Kurt take with him if he had to spend a year on a desert island? My first thought is Storm for two reasons. They're BFFs and also she controls weather. Duh.
Okay. That does make a lot of sense. Who's the question from?
Oh, yes. I'm so sorry. It is from Craig Lincoln.
Okay, Craig. Good question. Four people he would take. Logan.
Yeah, duh. Like, we're not stupid. Come on now.
Yes. I think Storm's a good choice, too.
I think, it says four people. So a third person will be Kate Pride, but she's bringing Lockheed. He doesn't count as a person because he's not human.
Yeah, he doesn't count. Okay,
he's so then we, let's go.
Then we have one more person we can add. I hate to say this answer, but it's the correct answer, but I don't want to say it.
Say it. Say it.
Amanda.
You're about to make a bunch of people mad.
I mean, like, the problem is that they just keep going back to each other. So it's just like, I feel like I have a hard time at having him be like, I'm going to go live on a desert island and never talk to anyone else but these four people. And it's not her.
I mean, I do agree with the fact that there needs to be somebody that can be a love interest for him. But I mean, depending on who you are, some would argue Logan fits that. Some would argue Storm fits that. If you're an X-Men Evolution fan, you might argue Kate fits that in that universe. So like, here's the thing. You can ship Kurt with a bunch of people. That's kind of the kind of guy Kurt is. Like, even though he is very monogamous when he is with the person that he decides that is his person, right? He's instantly fully monogamous. He has so much love to share with so many people, both romantically and as friends and all these other gazillion ways.
Yes. He's also famously very bad at judging character of women he's attracted to. So,
oh yeah, no, he's totally attracted to all the women that could slit his throat, step on him. And even when people warn him, like Storm could be like, Kurt, listen, I know you're attracted to badass, tough women like me, but you do know this other woman's going to slit your throat one day. And Kurt goes, yeah, he's like all dreamy. And she's like, not again.
Well, it's like, I always think about it. I always think about Andrew Lee, who was the woman he stripped in Excalibur. And it was like, he just shows up on this pirate ship and there's a blonde who's like, help. And he's like, oh, she's the one I'm going to help. And it turns out Correct. She's the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. And he doesn't just help her. He helps her find out where all three holes are down there.
Listen, what if I need help? Kurt, come find me. All right. Thanks.
All right. Lauren needs to find her holes.
What the fuck, Lisa? God damn it. I didn't ask for this, but I set myself up, so I'm the only one to blame.
Well, I love the questions. Thanks for sending them in, guys. Keep sending them. We'll keep answering them. And, you know, it gives us something to talk about and some fun things. I would never have talked about either of these things had it not been brought up by you guys. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I love it. You know, we've got the four people he's going to be stuck with, and then we have his club that I'm not sure everybody that listens to this podcast would want to go to, but I hope you guys can understand where we come from with it.
Their sponsor room.
Jesus Christ, I hate it. I hate it so much.
I kind of love it, but you know, that's just me. So, all right, guys. Well, thank you for joining us for another fabulous episode of Simply Amazing, the Nightcrawler podcast where we talk about sponsors. Lauren, tell them where to find you.
You can find me on most social media at FriendlyMBHDBI. I tweet more when I'm not dying physically. If I'm not tweeting a lot, it's most likely because I'm dying physically or I'm hopefully happily busy. It's one or the other. There's no middle ground. But yeah, you should really check us out on Twitter and because we're not calling it the new name. That's stupid. And Blue Sky and all that was Simply Amazing stuff. You should check us out and keep sending in your questions. We really do love them.
I do. Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, we'll never call it Twitter because eventually they're just going to call it Twitter again. So I just don't want to call it something
Facts.
Else. I mean, and honestly, every time it's mentioned anywhere, it's X, formerly known as Twitter. It's like, well, if you have to do that every time, then you really aren't very good at branding. So,
correct. Anyway.
But yeah, thanks for joining us, guys, again. We love to hear from you. So send us some questions, send us some like, subscribe, you know, find us wherever you find us. We're on all of the different podcasting things. You know, you can find our website, simplyamazingpod.com, which I promise I will update eventually. I'm just terrible at it. But you can find all of our information there, all of our links to all of our socials. Yeah, come find us. Come talk to us. We love it. And, you know, we love to hear from you. And if you are out there and you are having an affair with the man you are supposed to kill, girl, look at your life, look at your choices, but it's okay. You're still simply amazing.